You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Washington to Hollywood and right back to Wisconsin, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Connecting the dots on the stories shaping our world with smart takes, sharp humor, and plenty of personality.
You know, I really expected more professional behavior from you.
It's news and culture without the noise.
Yeah, I'm on!
Here's Pete Schwabe
Dude.
And Greg Bach.
Dude!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Nightlight. We are kicking this show off on a Thursday night, a beautiful Thursday night in the state of Wisconsin, coming to you live on the Civic Media Network. I am Pete Schwabe, based in Northeast Wisconsin, beautiful Northeast Wisconsin, in Christmas City, USA, also known as Marinette, Wisconsin. I am joined, as always, by my compadre who is just down the coast in Radio Park, Racine, Mr. Greg Bach. Hello, Greg.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
How are we doing?
I'm doing quite well. I had a very productive day. I got a lot done.
What's
feeling like? Good. I don't know. Honestly, my body hurts again. I was talking about this yesterday. I did yard work today. I cleaned more of the house. And now, like, my whole upper body's just like, oh. How out of shape do you have to be that housework makes you hurt?
Yeah, the general straightening and you pull a hammy, that's problematic. So I hope you get a chance. During the breaks, I would stretch out, do some jumping jacks. Whatever happened to jumping jacks, by the way? Why don't we do jumping jacks anymore?
They're very fancy now. They're jumping Jonathans.
There's something going on. Mr. Dom Lee is also joining us tonight from Madison, as he so often does. And when I say so often, I mean every night. Dom, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I really like that. I really like that joke from Greg right there. That was really funny. That got me. That got me for some reason. I don't know what it was.
I liked it too.
Can I tell you?
You sound like you're trying to stick up for him or something. Like I didn't like it.
No, it was good.
Well, I mean, it was a real pizza farm reaction from you there, buddy. I was doing the late night show at the Laughing Tap last Saturday, and I did a joke, and there was laughter, and then one guy just goes, "That was funny." I'm like,
Oh god, nice.
sounds fake, but it was true. It was pretty good. But my my day was really good. The one downside was I was supposed to get my hair cut at 9 a.m. today, and my barber had to reschedule. No big deal, but I wanted to get my hair cut today. But
you'll get there.
Yes. Do you go to a barber shop or a salon?
Barber shop.
Nice. Okay.
Barbershop. Yeah.
I actually go to a saloon.
Oh,
it's worked out for me.
It's like
pretty well. So
that's good. Like, what would you like? What would you like to done with your hair? And also make sure if you're going to spit out your tobacco, do it in that brass bucket there. And you're ba-ting, which is such an old timey like thing. Like ba-ting. I never understood that, but yeah, I love that idea. The saloon.
they do the wash. You know, you go to a bar and you can wash your clothes. Why not have a couple cocktails while you're getting your hair cut?
Stop right there. Did you say go to a bar and wash your clothes?
Yeah, there was called a Suds and Duds or something like that. It was a place in Chicago years and years ago, and there was a laundromat connected to a bar. You can go in and meet singles, mingle, have a cocktail, and wait for your rinse cycle to.
I was really getting worried about you. It's like, oh no! I go to the laundromat, and that's where I do my drinking.
That's where I sneak my booze in. Yeah, I always say to myself, there should be a bar attached to this.
Yeah.
Well, Dom, good luck on the whole haircut thing. I'm sure that'll work. You got good moss anyway. I don't think you don't seem desperate for a haircut. Greg's the expert, though. He used to cut hair. What do you think about Dom's hair, Greg?
Well, I can't see it that close. I mean, I can see the getting longer. That's quite long. I feel like are you gonna get it trimmed, or are you gonna take a significant amount off?
I'm gonna take a significant amount off because you guys know this. I play with my hair a lot. Sometimes it gets a little in my face, and I want it gone. I want it out of here.
I think I see a split end there, Dom, too. It's something to address with your barber when you finally get it.
If you want, when we come to Madison one of these days, when all of us are together, I'll just shave your head.
Could do that.
I'll shave your head, and I'll give you a nice taper on the sides and the back. Like, it won't just be a shaving. It will be of quality. It's what I do with haircuts. I give quality haircuts. They're the best haircuts in the world.
People say it's the best.
As they say, you know, some say, a lot of people are saying they're the best. I don't know what that, I don't understand, but it's the best haircuts in the world.
If only he could cut his own.
I cannot believe I have a Trump. Oh my God.
Hey, you know what's, okay, here's a weird thing last night, guys. Okay, yeah. So I got done with the show. We didn't have our post-show meeting, and my son was still in town. So I said, can you drop me at the gym? It's like 3 miles away on the way out of town. I didn't have a car. My daughter had the car. My wife had the car. My wife was at a high school graduation. She brought her mom. Long story. So I'm like, I'll probably be fine. So I go do this hour-long workout. I can't get a hold of anybody in my family. So I went and I did the hydro massager. I did the chair massager. I'm there an hour and a half. I don't hear a peep. My phone is draining. I'm at like 7%. I'm like, oh my God. I hope people are wondering where I am, but maybe they're not. I'm going to have to walk home from Planet Fitness on the highway. It was the most helpless I've felt. And whatever, I could have called. We actually have taxi cabs here in Marinette, Wisconsin, Christmas City. But basically, with what it was, this was a Hail Mary with 1% left on the phone.
Yeah.
I heard from my wife and she paid. Oh, how sweet is that? Okay. But here's what I'm doing. I'm getting steps in. I'm getting steps in at Walmart last night. And I walk by this dude who's easily in his 40s and his neck is covered with hickeys.
Yeah.
40s. Don't you graduate past hickeys when you're in your mid-teens? What's this guy doing walking around Walmart going,
I mean, honestly, or a guy. We don't know. We have no idea.
Or a guy. Whatever. But regardless of partner.
Here's what we know. Dude getting some loving. There you go.
He's getting some action.
There you go. And maybe that was the thing is, he likes, because like we grew up, Pete, with those TV shows where a kid gets a hickey and it's the almighty worst thing that's ever happened. Like I got to stay home from school. I'm going to be so embarrassed. Not this guy. This guy's like, I'm 45. I live in my mom's basement. I got some action last night. I want to show everyone in this Walmart. And he did.
I think that's exactly. And you know what? It has probably a domino effect where if there are other women that he finds attractive, they might see that and go, oh, damn, he's off the market. Look at those hickeys.
He's so
I bet
hickey.
I could give him a better hickey.
He's so hickeyable.
That's a neck you want to suck.
That's a...
It's horrible. I felt bad for this guy. I'm like, come on, dude. Let me buy you an Almond Joy or something.
Let me buy you a turtleneck.
Yeah, right. I had that kind of money, too. I could afford a Walmart turtleneck or a Dickie.
Oh man! Oh, that's funny. I forgot about
Dickies. Yeah, it was crazy. Oh, I couldn't. I didn't think adults still did that. But you know,
I'm
missing out.
Hey, everyone's going back in time for something. Kids are listening to CDs and VHS tapes now. So true. You know, maybe guys like, you know what? It's a Wednesday night. I got to get some hickeys on this neck. This neck has got some prime real estate for suction action here. Hickey, baby,
tattoo it up.
It was very old school. I immediately wanted to go home and make out with my wife. So that was. You know, what?
Did you? I mean, I don't want the dirty details. Personal. I'm just, well, you brought it up, okay?
No. I got the first base. Hey, we have a great show tonight, folks. Oh, Dom. Wait, where are we at on our round of applause budget?
We're good on that. I checked that last week. The line items are good on that. We have a lot of applause budget. It's the problem. The problem is we should have been working out like some applause, some timpani back and forth. And instead, Dom the timpani master over here is anytime anything happens. See?
Oh. We're going to have to funnel some of those applause dollars into the timpani fund.
I feel like Dom should just start doing surprise timpanis and then we have to just come up with some big announcement. It doesn't have to be real. It can just be like, I grew a third arm. Yeah, all right. You know, something like that. I don't know.
We know Dom is not siphoning funds out of the timpani petty cash for his haircuts, though, because he gets them so infrequently.
Yeah, exactly.
Despite what you've heard, folks, we have a really good show tonight. We have coming up at 5:35, our pal and Civic Media Sports Authority, Mike Clemens, will be here. He's going to talk Josh Jacobs, Brewers record-setting performance, lots of other stuff, too. We always love talking to Mike. He'll be here at 5:35. And then, ladies and gentlemen, in hour number two, it is Thursday, and that means one thing. It is the Nightlight Movie Club, and tonight's film that we are going to break down and discuss is The Outsiders, that classic S.E. Hinton-adapted Francis Ford Coppola movie. really, you know, iconic film, I would say, launched a bunch of careers, and it was fun to watch it again as an older person, too, not when I was in my 20s or even teens. So I'm excited to talk about that with you guys, too. Hopefully you guys will weigh in on the conversation, talk about your favorite characters, your favorite lines or scenes. We've got a lot to say on that, so that will be fun. Did you guys get a chance to rewatch the film?
I did. Watched it today. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And Dom, was that your first time, Dom? I can't remember.
That was my second time, and I also read the book as well. But yes, this was my second time. I just rehashed it. It was pretty good.
Outstanding.
Nice.
We also have a really fun, I think, question of the night, so maybe we should get to that.
Let's do it.
What is a bad habit you wish you could kick? We've all got them. This question tonight was inspired by our senior producer, Tucker Ligursky, who found this statistic, crazy statistic, that in China, where most of the world is cutting back on smoking, China is increasing by like 50% the amount of smokers they have.
My goodness.
I have no idea what to attribute that to, other than maybe smoking.
Looking cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk more about that when we discuss The Outsiders. Let me tell you.
Oh, speaking of smoking, But that is our question of the night. What is a bad habit you wish you could quit? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know what you think. Text us on the app. If you're watching the radio on the stream over YouTube, Facebook, or X Twitter, drop us a stream comment and tell us a habit you would like to quit. I got a good one. You guys are going to love it. It's nothing to do with hickeys.
I got a good one, too.
I want to quit hickeys.
I wish I could quit.
Oh, my gosh. So this is like, this isn't surprising at all, but this was on the New York Times website. 60 Minutes journalist who accused CBS of political meddling is losing her deal. So apparently a reporter, Sharon Alfonsi, who's been with 60 Minutes for some time now, for many, many years, is no longer in contract and was and this was the person who had the story regarding the Salvadorian prisons that was pulled off the air last December.
Right.
She has not been met with a new contract. She still works for CBS and for 60 Minutes, but they have not responded to her management team about, her agent's inquiries regarding like a new contract. There's basically, she's kind of living month by month, if you will, if we're speaking in apartment terms. But this is just another step in the bad direction CBS has been taking since Barry Weiss took over that joint. I mean, it's been bad.
Yeah, it's and Barry Weiss created something called the Free Press. I don't know if it's a podcast. I think it was a podcast or a some type of publication. But it's ironic, like that. I woke up this morning, Greg, to texts from around the company saying 60 Minutes is dead or is done. And I was like, what? And but it was a figure of speech, obviously. But this is really, it's big news. I mean, do people still watch? What has this done to the ratings since Skydance Paramount took over?
Well, it says here in the article that their ratings have gone up 9% this year. And that the owner, David Ellison, son of Larry Ellison, you know, the guy who fired 30,000 of his employees over email. This is all part of a major transition in CBS and 60 Minutes. I know CBS Radio is gone now. Excuse me. And it looks like they're trying to bring in people to help steer the ship of 60 Minutes, whatever that may mean. It just seems like a bad, bad move for this show and for this historic news company.
And speaking of 60 Minutes, CBS News regular contributor, formerly Mike Clemens, will be here after the news at the bottom of the hour. We'll come back and we're going to talk about some new ratings numbers for Stephen Colbert's replacement. That's next. It's Nightlight with Pete and Greg.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. We are joined, as always, by Dom Lee, who is working the board and producing the show for Madison. This is, folks, for one night only, a hickey-free zone. There will be no hickeys on tonight's show. We've already discussed it. We've moved past it. And I just want to reiterate that. I can't stress that enough. Our question of the night is, what is a bad habit you wish you could quit? This is inspired by the country of China, actually, where they are adding smokers at an astronomical rate while the rest of the world is cutting back. I don't get it either, but that's our question tonight. So share with us, if you would, please, a bad habit you're trying to quit. You can text us at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or you can text us on the app. Or leave us a stream comment like Laura Lee just did, checking to make sure we are here. And we are here, guys.
Laura Lee out there. Laura Lee. You can also listen to us on the Civic Media app as well. That way you don't have to worry about the radio station. So, yeah. In case you're not getting good signal. And she also, let's just say this right now, she gave us an answer to the question of the night, which is, I wish to quit Derek Van Orden. Amen, sister. Amen. Good Lord.
What is the, what would you quit? Just like doom
scrolling, forcing yourself to. Him being congressman, being any part of the federal government. I would just like for him to not be in government anymore. Get a podcast. I don't care.
And Laura Lee says, I love radio. And okay. I love that she texted that in as there well. And she says, we're supposed to ask her mother why her last name or her Laura Lee is pronounced Lee. So if you want to get your mother to call in, Laura Lee, we'd be happy to talk to her and set her straight, even if that's what you want us to do.
Hey, I'm not getting
go to bat for you. Greg, there's another story that this one is a shocker because this guy is usually so humble. He rarely tries to get press or any kind of headlines, but
are we talking about the Pope? Oh, the president.
No. Not the Week on Crime guy. President Trump. His face, according to NPR, could soon appear on a $250 commemorative bill in celebration of the 250th anniversary. And all I can say about this is it doesn't surprise me. And I'm sure it will come across as, well, it was the Treasury's idea. He had nothing to do with it. But I will say that those $250 bills are going to be so vandalized. It will be almost fun to come into possession of one and see what people drew on that $250 bill.
It will not be safe for radio. That's for darn sure.
No.
I mean, if you read this article in the Washington Post about this, first of all, this article ended up being a lot longer than I expected.
Yeah.
But it's really, it should go without saying, but this is really just the sucking up of the sucking ups. Like, it's just, we need to put his face on it. First of all, there is a law that says you cannot put living people's faces on the bills, which goes back all the way to, I think it said in like the 1800s, when some mid-level person put their face on a coin and they're like, well, can't do that anymore. This is why we can't have nice things. But there was a woman who stood up and said, you can't, her name is Patricia Patty Solomine. She stood up and said, look, you can't do this. There's a law against it. It has to go through Congress if you want to put his face on it. And it also takes between 6 to 8 years to come up with a new bill, especially for something of this value. And what did they do? They reassigned her from the Treasury Department.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't think they would go so far as to break the law. So I think this will probably go away quietly.
Well, I mean, the bill that will allow this to happen has been languishing in the Congress. But now, of course, Trump wants to bring it up again because anything not to talk about Iran, anything not to talk about the Epstein files, anything to not talk about the big bill for billionaires. But yeah, first of all, there's a reason why we don't have those large bills anymore. We used to have $500 and $1,000 bills back in the day. We don't need them. And also, it just looks like you can put a picture of him smiling on there. Or don't put a picture. I guess the presidents aren't smiling on the dollar bills. But, like, he just looks so ominous. He always has to look so ominous.
Like he's trying to be a tough guy.
Yeah. Or really he's just maybe, I don't know, saying like, whoa, this is a room full of really, really cool people. I want to weird out.
You said something about, I think it was the Epstein files. What is that? I'm not familiar.
You never heard of that? Oh, it's a very long document that's sitting on someone's desk right now with a bunch of black swipes through it that people will never know about. Whoa. Wow.
Greg,
speaking of. Did I do that?
That was your voice. That was Greg singing or humming. The a better segue for this next story probably would have been after we discussed CBS in 60 Minutes, but this is Colbert. The ratings are in from Colbert's first night. You know, he was off the air after last Thursday. The Late Show went dark permanently. And there are ratings, as we all know, we've talked about it on the show. Byron Allen and his company, Byron Allen Media, I believe it's called, purchased that time from CBS and Paramount Skydance, and he is putting his show Comics Unleashed in that time slot. The ratings for Stephen Colbert on his last broadcast were 6.7 million. Mm-hmm. Now that's skewed because it was his last broadcast. There was a lot of hype. But typically he averaged 2.5 to 3 million viewers
which
a night.
Which is amazing for late which is night amazing. Nowadays.
And yeah. shows the hypocrisy of there were no ratings issues. However, this Byron Allen, who I don't dislike, he's just not Stephen Colbert. He pulled 995,000, not even a million viewers in his first show. And his target demographic, or the target demographic, 18 to 49, there was like a 95% drop off.
Dude, he didn't beat reruns of Kimmel and Fallon.
Right. That's huge too.
Yeah. And here's the thing that really kind of stuck with me really quick before we have to go to the news break here. When asked about this, he said, not everyone's going to love me. Not everyone's going to love the fact that I'm not being racist or anti-Semitic or sexist. What? Did you just accuse Colbert of being racist, sexist, and anti-Semitic? And then he goes on to say, he's like, I'm doing my thing and people are rolling with you. I learned that at an early age. And by the way, it's simple. It's a simple lesson that made me a billionaire. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Okay.
So you got some scratch to your name.
You got some scratch, but man, seriously, cool. It's such a weird thing.
Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting to see what happens. All right. Mike Clemens is here, folks. He is the Civic Media Sports Authority. Coming up after the news, we're going to talk Packers, Brewers, and all kinds of fun stuff. We love having Mike on the show. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network. Welcome back to Nightlight on this Thursday night, a beautiful Thursday night in the state of Wisconsin. Pete Schwabe, Greg Bach, and Dom Lee coming to you live from the Civic Media Network. This is a fun show, folks. We got a great question tonight. What is a bad habit you wish you could quit? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the Civic Media app or drop us a stream comment if you're watching the radio on Facebook, Twitter. Yes, I said Twitter or YouTube, but be part of the show. Mm-hmm. Coming up in hour number two, it's Nightlight Movie Club, folks, and our movie this week is The Outsiders, the Francis Ford Coppola film adapted from the S.E. Hinton, the very famous S.E. Hinton novel that they still read in schools to this day. Pretty amazing. So right now, though, without further ado, we're going to switch to our first guest of the evening. He joins us now, as he so often does, over the phone. He is the Civic Media Sports Authority, Mr. Mike Clemens. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Good. I tell you, the habit I got to stop is just, 2 a.m. and finally leaving the ballpark after filing my stories and stuff and getting in the car and turning on one of the Civic Media stations, and it's the replay of Nightlight. And now I'm up till 4 o'clock in the morning listening to this thing.
Please don't ever quit, Mike.
Yeah, please. You can go to civicmedia.us/shows, go to Nightlight, download episodes, listen at your leisure, Mike. You don't have to stay
late for Nightlight. Slow down. Give me that address again.
You'll find it. How are you, buddy?
Good, except I'm in Green Bay for an extended period of time, and I can't help but be honest with you. This is a tough story to cover because I know the guy.
Yeah,
I thought I did. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
All I know is that Matt LaFleur has a real problem on his hands, because a guy who rushed for over 900 yards last year, even with a bad knee injury, and scored 13 touchdowns, may not be there in his roster this year, and that's the running back Josh Jacobs.
That is crazy. Now, he's denying the charges, as I understand it. He was released. What happens next, Mike? I mean, obviously, he can't participate in any Packer activities, I would assume.
I'll give you a timeline. It's 8:37 on Saturday morning, and in the suburb of Hobart, a little west of the stadium, a lot of players and coaches live in that area, police are dispatched. They interview the people involved. One of them turns out to be Packers running back Josh Jacobs, 28 years old. Clean record, he had a DUI in Vegas about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Then they talk to these people, they spend 3 days to investigate this, and then they come back with 5 charges: domestic abuse, physical strangulation, and suffocation. That's a felony charge, property damage, whatnot. And it's my understanding, from what I've been told, that then Jacobs turned himself in Tuesday, And now that, you know, the crisis has started. Now, you know, we talked to LaFleur yesterday, and I think that Jacobs, you know, called into the Packers and said, hey, man, I just had this incident talking with police. Okay, keep us posted. So he spent the night in jail in the Brown County Courthouse on Tuesday night. And then on Wednesday, the Packers said, okay, look, you know, this is our media day here at the OTAs, the off-season program. We're going to shut down the locker room to reporters because this was on everybody's mind. It was kind of a bombshell. And what to do, what to say. There's nothing else to talk about, you know. I mean, come on. So even though we wanted to talk to some of these new free agents they've got. So we went to Matt LaFleur, and he held his press conference, and here's how that went.
Wow, that's a talk about a tough position for a coach to be in. Did he answer that question like satisfactorily, Mike? Like he kind of said there's a lot that's going to happen, and that's true. But how do you think he answered that? Did that suffice?
Well, from the team standpoint, and I can go by, you know, my experience in covering these things. 20 years ago, running back, ironically, Amon Green woke up on a Saturday morning, got into a fight with the then wife. He punched a hole in the wall, the plaster wall, drywall, outside the garage door. Police came, interviewed. I believe he was taken away, arrested. And it wasn't until the following year that they had a court case. And so that was kind of, you know, hanging over his head. And eventually those charges were dropped. The league had different policies back then because a lot of, you know, bad situations, some caught on videotape, have changed some of the league's policies. So right now there's one thing that could happen is that if they do file these charges, because what the DA does, they drop the charges, says we need more investigation before we decide if we can actually go to court with these charges. We need to do some more background before we put these charges on. So, you know, to me, something happened, right? Something must have happened. And enough that the officers and the Hobart Lawrence Police Department said, hey, this guy should report to jail. The DA is like, all right, well, here's some things that maybe you didn't check. Maybe they didn't get the security camera video, you know? Who knows? So that's where it lies. But for the team, there's a thing called where the commissioner has the commissioner's exempt list where the player can no longer play or practice, but he continues to get paid until he gets his court date. So, I mean, it would be amazing if at this point he's actually going to be able to come back and play, you know, go back to a regular season. That would be an amazing discovery by the DA's office, I would think.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, and I don't know if I heard you or Stuart J. Waddle saying it on a news report, that at this point there wasn't evidence to file, they found charges, but like at this point there's not enough evidence to go forward. If I heard that wrong, please correct me, but like it seemed like that's what I may have heard on the radio itself, so please
clear that up for me.
Okay, all right,
that's the statement we got from the district attorney, who said, yeah, you know, there's too many gaps here, there's things that we need to follow up, we know. And that actually happens in a lot of these kinds of cases, so it's not just because it's a football player. The standard in those kinds of cases, in an attorney that I talk to, that define that for me. No, this is kind of standard, you know, procedure in these situations. So I've heard some things, Greg. I'm not going to talk about them because I've done them too many times. And it's not until I have that police report in my hot little hand that I will talk about what I know so far. And when I went to the, you know, clerk yesterday, it's like ongoing investigation. When that you know, when that happens, then we'll be able to provide that report to you. Okay, gotcha.
Okay, yeah.
That's the voice of Mike Clemens. He is an outstanding sports reporter and our sports authority here at Civic Media. He joins us tonight to talk Packers. And, Mike, should we pivot here and move to some Brewers news? There's some great things going on with the Brewers.
Yeah.
On Memorial Day, I'm at the ballpark, and it's the Brewers against the Dodgers. Well, no, the Cardinals. The first game of the Cardinals series. And Jacob Mizorowski, the Miz, is there on the mound.
Yeah.
And he's throwing the heat. 100, 101, 102, 103, which he's, you know, done before. He ends up throwing like 57 out of 96 pitches. Jeez. Over 100 miles an hour. And, you know, you start thinking of names like, you know, Walter Johnson, who was, you know, back at the Ty Cobb era, or Bob Feller for Cleveland in the 40s, you know, or Nolan Ryan. Nolan Ryan, mm-hmm. you know, could throw at 105, whatever. And of course, they didn't have radar guns in some of those eras, right? But this is, you know, as measured as possibly can be. It was an epic performance. And so we went to the Miz afterwards and talked about his, you know, his endurance to take that into the seventh inning the other day.
I just love that. I just like playing. I just love playing baseball. It's just really, really fun. Mike, I have a question for you. And granted, none of us are sports doctors. We're not managers. We don't play for the team or any teams for that matter. But and it's great to see someone that young throw so much heat. But after a while, that's going to start to take a toll. He's not going to be. Of course, he can't do it every single game. But you also have to learn how to parse that sort of speed out to use it well instead of just throwing all the time, because it's going to come to the point where your body's going to not be able to do it, and your body's also going to be harshly impacted by throwing so hard so many times.
Right. We talked to the manager, Pat Murphy, about that, Greg, because, like, I know even Aaron Rodgers has said, throwing the football, it starts with your feet, and you work up, you know, through your body to get the most velocity on a ball. And Murphy says that, you know, good pitching starts with the feet and the legs.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And then I went to Christian Yelich about this, because Murphy says, you know, he's told me before, like Abner Uribe, it's great that he threw 103 his first night out there as a relief pitcher. He says fastballs get hit in the major leagues. You've got to move the ball around. But Yelich says, you know what he's doing is that he's hitting the strike zone. So when you're hitting the strike zone that consistently, you got to honor it. This is how Yelich broke it down. So I went over to the Cardinals clubhouse, and baseball's so cool because you go right in the office and sit down and talk to the manager, and I'm talking to the Cardinals manager, Oliver Marmol, just after this historic performance by the Miz on Monday in the Brewers 5-1 win, and I'm asking him, I said, what's he doing? And you can hear, you turn up your radio, it sounds like an old Martin Short bit on 60 Minutes where he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean? What are you saying? this is the Cardinals manager, and I'm trying to ask him to break down what he just saw.
Ha ha ha. All right, we're going to break this clip down. This clip comes compliments of our guest, Mike Clemens. We're going to break it down when we come back. After a very short break, we'll have a few more minutes with our pal, Mike Clemens. It's Nightlight with Pete and Greg on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Oh, sorry, it was just singing. Hey, welcome back to Nightlight, folks. I am Pete Schwabe, joined as always by Greg Bach. And we are in the middle of a great conversation with our pal Mike Clemens, who covers sports so well here at Civic Media. We just heard a clip of Cardinals manager Ali Marmel talking about Mizorowski and how he throws. Mike, that was a great clip. But do you ever just start cracking up in the locker room? You must.
Oh, no, I laugh in the concourse.
Well done.
I just nod like, oh, really? Sure. You know, I just make sure, and then I look at the record like, did I get all that? Are you kidding me? That is gold, brother. That is gold. Yeah.
That is great.
That was just great. Like, are we done yet? Are we done now? What do you want? Quote? Give me a quote. Yeah, I saw him pitch.
Yeah. So you know, one story today, by the way, is in baseball. Is they're working on a new CBA. They got 8 months to get this done so they don't have a stoppage in baseball next spring during spring training or, God forbid, the baseball season. They're talking about a floor, not a salary cap, but a floor that teams would have to spend at least $150 million on their payroll for players, and the Brewers are under that currently.
Yes, they are.
Oh, wow. You know, they've got a lot of negotiations. But when you get down to the money and the egos and all the negative things you hear, on Friday night, the defending world champion L.A. Dodgers are in town. Logan Henderson, kid's been working his way up, gets his second or third start for the Brewers. He's on the mound against the world champs, okay? He's only pitched a couple of games in the show. And Freddie Freeman, veteran, got the ring, first baseman, a tough hitter. He comes up to the plate, and I'm looking at one of the monitors, and I'm like, did I just see that? It looked like before he got into the box, he nodded his cap like, hello, kid. Like, welcome, kid. Like, oh, come on.
Oh, that's
cool. So after the game, then Logan struck him out. It's his first at-bat, and he had a good game. They won the game that night. I went to the clubhouse, and after the scrum, and Logan was still there, I said, can I ask you one more question? Did Freddie Freeman give you like a hello? He goes, yeah, I know, I caught that. Yeah, no. Then I went to Pat Murphy after he got done. And after the media left the auditorium, I went back up to Murphy and I said, hey, I asked Logan about this. He said that Freddie's one of the best guys in baseball. They got a lot of good guys over there in that Dodgers team. Yeah. Then I got over and we talked to the Dodgers and we get done in the office with Dave Roberts. And I said the same thing to Dave, because Freddie's one of the best, man. So then when I get out in the clubhouse, and there's like 30 reporters there from NHK, the Japanese network, because they have such a following for Shohei Ohtani, and Yamamoto, their pitcher. So there's this huge, look at all these people here. They're on the road. And they're all around Freddie Freeman. When he gets done talking, I go, Freddie, can I ask you one more question? Sure, what is it? And I told him, did I see that? And here's the answer he gave me.
Mike, that was an amazing catch right there. Yeah. No pun intended, but that was a really good catch on your part, too. Like, I wonder how many people actually saw that happening and deduced. They're like, oh, it was a moment between two professionals.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that good stuff? I mean, that's why. That's the best part of these things, of these games.
God, I love baseball.
That's fantastic. And I'm excited about the new CBA because it'll be nice to see Ohtani get some real money if they can renegotiate that.
some walking around. I mean, nutty night out on the town money.
I mean, what is Mark? What's Mark Antanasu going to do? He's actually going to have to spend money now if this is the case. They were spending money 10 years ago, and now they're like, they're far below the median, and this could. Is there any problems you foresee with this?
Listen, they lost $20 million when FanDuel went belly up. Okay, and people say, well, the franchise is worth $4 or $5 billion. What's $20 million? I had it explained to me. You own a house, and it's bought and paid for, and the HVAC goes out. You're writing a check for $15,000-$20,000. You know?
Yeah.
Hello? And it's just, how much do you think the grounds crew costs every year? You know? Or this crew, right. or that stuff, or all those people they got on TV. $20 million is $20 million.
It's a lot of money.
It's true.
There's a lot of market.
Yeah, absolutely. We got about a minute left, Mike. The division with the Brewers and the Cardinals and the Cubs and the Reds, there's a lot of streaks. The Cubs just had a huge losing streak after a big winning streak. The Brewers have had winning and losing streaks. What is happening in this division? Who do you think is positioned properly right now?
Craig Counsell's had trouble putting healthy starting pitchers on. But he's also had a poor hitting streak as well, and they should have been able to hit their way through this period. Pat Murphy is not only himself; he's got an unbelievable coaching staff. Pete, I'm telling you, they keep on finding these 24, 25 year old guys. How about Kyle Harrison, who was doing nothing in the Red Sox? Say, you want him? Go ahead, have him.
That's what we do with the Brewers.
They moved him 6 inches to the left on the rubber. The pitching coach, Chris Hook, looked at him and said, try this. Move 6 inches to your left. And now he's throwing strikes. It's coaching, man. It's coaching.
It's what the Brewers do. It's what we did with Andrew Vaughn. It's what we do, and I love it.
And it's nice that you guys have Mizorowski under contract, too, till like 30 or 31 or whatever.
No, not at all.
What's that? Oh, he's dead. Mike, thank you so much, as always, my friend. Stay safe out there on the roads. I know you drove through hell getting to Green Bay the other day, but thank you, as always, for taking the time to join us, buddy.
All right, boys. Have a good show. Have a good night.
You too, Mike.
You too. That is Mike Clemens, folks. He does great work here at Civic Media. We are coming back for Movie Club after the news, and we're going to read your texts. I can't even tell you how much fun it's going to be. Don't go anywhere. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.